إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الجمعة: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters and children in Islam, spending in the way of Allah or in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the second most important ibadah after salah. Actually, it is a trademark of a real muttaqi. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us in the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That book, there can be no doubt in it, it is the truth, and it is the absolute truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can only serve as true guidance to those who are conscious of the Lord, للمتقين. Who are they? First and foremost, they believe in the غيب. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Second, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. They pray regularly. And third, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from the provisions we have given them. Actually, only those muttaqeen understand the concept of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, due to our lack of Islamic education and due to our ignorance, we often miss out on an abundance of good. A lot of khair that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the reasons we miss out on the great rewards Allah promised us are: number one, we hold back giving for fear of poverty or shortage of wealth, something shaitan is great at. يَعِدُكُمْ الْفَقْرِ. Number two, love of wealth, a natural instinct. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. You love wealth immensely. Number three, love of worldly treasures. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرَ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. It had been adorned to people the love of women, children, and the mountains of gold and silver, etc. Number four, greed. Number five, miserly and stinginess. وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ. Don't let those people who hold back and are stingy and don't spend in the way of Allah and don't spend from what Allah had given them out of His grace and out of His bounty, that it is good for them. It may appear and seem that it's good. It may be good here in this life, but in the hereafter, they will be the ones who are bankrupt. بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is definitely an evil thing. This is a bad thing for them. Number 6, lack of faith, lack of iman. And finally, number 7, among many other reasons, lack of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us see if we can understand the concept of spending in the way of Allah, which is in reality Islam's economic concept. There are 4 main principles. If we understand them, then Allah may open your heart and you begin practicing what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced and the Sahaba. Number 1, we must keep in mind that whatever we have does not belong to us. Man owns nothing. Everything we have, everything that is in this world belongs to Allah and Allah alone. We own nothing. أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Is it not that to Allah belong what is in the heavens and what is in the earth? لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ To Allah belongs what is in the heavens and the earth. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ There are so many ayat in this regard, but there is one place in Surah Al-Munafiqun which is most profound. وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ To Allah are the treasures of the heavens and the earth. So whatever there is in this world, whatever we have in our possession, in reality does not belong to us. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may infer that the main principal clause in an Islamic economic system would be, number 1, negation of ownership to any individual, group of people, corporations, nation or state. Ownership is to Allah and Allah alone. We are only custodians of what we have. This wealth that we have, or whatever material possessions we possess, is only a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is out of His grace. It is out of His bounty. It is fadl. It is fadl. You know, this concept of wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many places in the Quran, very clearly states, the wealth you have is not yours. It is Allah's wealth. So if we understand that, then inshallah ta'ala we'll understand the concept of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nur, Allah clearly says, وَآتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ This is regarding the nikah and the mahr and all. وَآتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ And give them from the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not ours. What we have is only a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It belongs to Allah. We don't own our body parts, let alone our possessions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may claim our bodies, our soul, and whatever we possess at any given time, because He is the rightful owner. He owns everything. Number 2. Whatever you earn through business or trade, whatever you get, it is not out of your hard work, it is not your earning, it is not your kasb. It is a fadl and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ All you who believe, when The salah for the Friday is called. Then hasten and move toward mentioning Allah. Go to the masjid. وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Leave the trades and your businesses. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This is better for you only if you know. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. When the salah is finished, when the khutbah is done and the salah is over. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Now go and disperse, go back to your businesses and trades and seek from the fadl of Allah. It is not kasb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His bounty, out of His favor, He gives you whatever He wills. وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And then mention Allah more frequently lest you become successful. Another place in Surah Al-Muzammil you find, وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله. You find some people, they go out in the land seeking from the bounty and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quranic term kasb, in Arabic we use the word kasb to mean earning. There is one place in the Quran where it is referred to as earning your wealth. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم. But generally speaking, throughout the whole of the Quran, whenever the word kasb is mentioned, it is to earn either a good deed or a bad deed. And we have many examples. بلى من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Surely those who earn a bad deed, a sayyi'ah, an evil deed, those are the companions of the fire and they will dwell in it forever. كُلُّ مْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to overburden the soul. Each soul has what it earned and to it or against it is what it earned. If you do good deeds, you've earned good rewards. And if you have done bad deeds, evil deeds, and you have sinned, indeed you have earned the bad deeds. And the reward for that is bad. Number three, out of the wealth that we have, you can only claim your needs. Whatever is surplus is not yours. It is for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purposely deprived in this world. According to the Quranic wordings and terminology, they are as-sa'il wal-mahroom. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ in Surah Al-Dhariyat. And in their wealth, now notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word in your wealth. It's just an expression. Just to understand that, yeah, you can say my wealth, you can say my house, you can say my property, you can say my car. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you develop an attitude to think that you really own it, then we are in trouble. You know, I'll give you a great example. You work in some company. Say you are a computer science person, you're sitting behind your computer and suddenly your computer goes bad. You call up the IT department and you say, my computer went bad. Well, in reality, it's not your computer, it's the company's computer. But you say my computer because it's the way we express things and it's the way we understand things. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word your wealth. But in reality, it is not our wealth. It is Allah's. And we have it because it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we shall see later. So, whatever we have, we can only claim our needs. Above and beyond that, it is the right of those who have been deprived and the destitutes. وَالَّذِينَ in Surah Al-Ma'arij, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. There is definitely a known right in your wealth. Those people who have been deprived can claim and can come and collect that portion of your wealth. because it is their right according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, how much should we spend? How much should we spend? Actually, there are two ways to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can spend at the legal level the zakah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had imposed on every believer, which is 2.5% of your surplus, whatever is extra, and you pay that to the deserving people. This is at the legal level. How about at the spiritual level? And this is the level the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced, and the Sahaba that were with him, such as Abi Dharr, Abi Darda, and the Fuqara Sahaba. How much should we spend? يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ They will ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much should we spend in the way of Allah? What was the answer? قُلِ الْعَفْفُ Spend everything. Spend whatever is surplus in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you purify your wealth. This is the investment you make in the universal bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which you will see every penny of it, not only equal to what you have spent, but multiplied many, 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 many folds. Spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me share with you this little story. By the way, I normally don't like to, particularly in the khutbah, to say things without any references. But this one I heard from Sheikh Wajdi Ghunaym, a very respectable scholar, and I'm quoting him. One time a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, deprived, destitute, asking for some help. And the practice of the Prophet was, whenever these situations arise, he will send them to the wealthy among his Sahaba, either Abu Bakr or Uthman or Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. In this case, he sent them, he says, go to the house of Abdurrahman ibn Auf and knock on his door, tell him that I sent you, he will take care of you. He went there, he was just about to knock on the door when he overheard him arguing with his wife over petty things, pennies. She must have spent something, and he's just arguing. And they were shouting and yelling. This man said, I'm not going to do that. If he's arguing over pennies, what am I going to expect? He went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he told him, he says, no, I'm not going to go to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He says, no, go back to him and ask him. He went for the second time, they were still arguing. He went back to the Prophet. The Prophet sent him back. He says, go back. Finally, he had the guts to knock on his door. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, asked the Sahabi, what do you want? The Sahabi said, the Prophet sent me to you. I need some help. Then Abdurrahman ibn Auf told the man, look over there. He pointed to his land where he had cattle and camels and herds of sheep, and he says, take whatever you want. Whatever you want, take it and go. This man was amazed. What's going on here? In one instance, he is arguing with his wife over pennies, and in another instance, he's given everything away. So the man asked him, he said, I overheard you arguing with your wife over little petty things. You know what was the response of Abdurrahman ibn Auf? He said, whatever we have, we are accountable for it on the day of judgment. Whatever I have over there doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and take it. You see, how much should we spend? قل العفو. As much as you can. Whatever is surplus, give it away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not retain anything with him. And the more you focus on the akhirah, the more you will give for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time the Prophet came home and a goat was sacrificed. The only part that was left from that goat was the shoulder part of the meat, the part that the Prophet loved very much.
He asked Aisha radiallahu anha, what's left out of the gold? He says, we gave everything away and the only thing we have is only this part. He says, no, don't say that. Everything is saved except what we are going to consume. But everything is saved. So this is, in a nutshell, the concept of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, among the many things Allah is testing us with is our wealth. Is our wealth. Actually, wealth and children are two of the biggest tests in Surah Taghabun. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Surely, your wealth and your children are tests for you. And with Allah is a great reward. If you spend in the way of Allah, if you teach your children the deen, if you raise them according to Islamic principle and Islamic education, then you will have the greatest reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Baqarah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Allah is going to test you. Some sort of fear and hunger and shortage of wealth to see what's your attitude like, to see how are you going to react to these things in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you with. In Surah Al-Fajr, this is most profound regarding what Allah gives and the attitude of the believer, the attitude when it comes to wealth. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone wealth, that person will say, oh, this is out of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is so generous to me. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain individuals, He restricts and He does not give, then what's the attitude of those individuals? They say, oh, Allah doesn't like me. Why Allah is doing this to me? How come He gave more to this person and He did not give me? That's the attitude. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَلَّا neither. Neither that attitude nor that attitude. Because whatever Allah has given you is a test. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ. Whenever Allah is testing you and He gives you abundantly, it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel so proud. Allah loves me. Allah likes me. He gives me money. He gives me this. He gives me that. No, don't say that. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, those whom Allah had deprived. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ. Again, ابْتِلَاء. When Allah doesn't give, He is testing that person. Is he going to be a grateful believer or is he going to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and develop that negative attitude? Allah doesn't like me. Allah doesn't love me. He loves the rich man. No, neither. Kalla, no. Kalla, bal la tukrimuna al-yateem wa la tahadduna ala ta'am al-miskeen. Holding back and not spending in the cause of Allah is one of the major signs of nifaq. Please understand that. One of the major signs of nifaq, hypocrisy. We have a complete surah actually called Al-Munafiqun that explains their disease. One of their diseases is not spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to entice one another and encourage each other to hold back and not give. هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. They will say to one another, and perhaps that happens here too, I don't know, in our communities, don't give. I don't know about this organization or that organization. Don't give. This is a very bad sign, a sign of nifaq. هم الذين, they are the ones, the munafiqeen, who will say, لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله. Don't spend on those who are with the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they came from Mecca to Medina, they came with nothing with them. They left their homes, they left their wealth, their trades, their businesses, everything. They went muhajireen fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Retain nothing. And those hypocrites will say, don't give them anything. حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّ until they disperse and leave Medina, go back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. If they don't want to give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give out of His treasures of the heavens and the earth. But these hypocrites, they really don't understand. Now believe it or not, Surah Munafiqun is one of the greatest surahs in the Quran to make us aware and keep us in check with our iman. Nifaq, hypocrisy, is something in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about in so many places, and he gave us its signs. This is not our subject today, but believe it or not, the treatment of nifaq, if you have that disease with you, what's the treatment? It is infaq, spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْفِقُوا, in the very same surah, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم. Or you who believe, in the end of Surah Al-Munafiqun, addressing the believers, don't let your wealth and your children destroy you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم, don't let the children and your wealth take you away and make you busy and take you away from the ذكر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. And whoever does these things, indeed he is a loser. وأنفقوا, spend. مما رزقناه, you're not spending out of your wealth, you're spending out of what Allah had given you. مما رزقناكم. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول, before death comes to you, what will one say? What will you say? God forbid, not us, but those munafiqeen or those who don't spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Only if you postpone my death for a short period of time, be it only 5 minutes, فَأَصَّدَّقْ, to give everything I have. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and I become a righteous believer. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. But Allah is not going to postpone your death when it comes, when it's time, at its appointed time, and Allah is very well aware of what you are doing. It is only when death becomes imminent and certain, when it becomes عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ, when you are dying and your soul is being extracted, this is when we realize that I should have spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, spending in the way of Allah is one of the greatest amal salih. It is one of the greatest ibadat that a Muslim can ever do. So I encourage you in the remaining days of Ramadan, this is month of sadaqat, give, that's okay. Believe me, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more in this life, and you will be surprised at what He has for you in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who will spend whatever we have for His pleasure and for His cause. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimina wal muslimat fastaghfiruh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, let me leave you with this. For every action of Bani Adam, there will be one question regarding that act on the day of accountability. Regarding wealth, however, there will be two questions. There will be two questions. Number one, where did you get it from? Did you get it from halal sources, from halal means? Or did you rip off the people and cheated the people and earned your money in that way? That's the first question. The second question is, where did you spend your money? Did you spend it for my cause? The Prophet told us of three people who will be judged. A alim, one who gave his life supposedly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a sakhi, a very generous person who supposedly gave for the cause of Allah. Regarding the one who spent, he was asked, what did you do with the wealth? He says, I spend it in your way. I spend it for your cause. The response was, kadhabt, you are lying. You have spent it so that people will say, oh, what a philanthropist and what a generous person you are. وَقَدْ قِيلَ, and that you have earned, and that had been said in this world. You have given, so you can have a big plaque in the heart of the masjid. So and so had donated. Wallahi, it is sad to see individuals having that attitude. If this is your attitude, change it. If this is your niyyah, change it. Because God forbid, if you are among those whom Allah is going to question and had a similar situation like that man will be dragged on his face to the hellfire. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So two things regarding wealth. Where did you get it from? And how you spent it. So I pray that whatever earnings we get, I pray that all of our earnings, if you have any earnings, as a matter of fact, when Allah asked for goodly loan, He says goodly loan. قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. What does it mean? He wants that the money you earn from halal sources to give it back to Him. And that we spend for His cause. Allahumma ameen. إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيَّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وجميع صالح أعمالنا. إنك أنت خير المتقبلين وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.